Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Pastor Matacha.
Good afternoon, sir.
I hope you're well this afternoon.
Yes, I'm perfectly well.
Lovely. Great to have you. Thank you so, so much. And I hope that your day has been good.
It has been good.
Lovely. Now, you know, we're talking about avoiding a conflict or conflict avoidance this afternoon. Now, but this seems to be a less stressful route for everyone, you know, avoiding an argument altogether. But it usually causes more stress to both parties as tension rises, resentments fester, and a much bigger argument eventually results. And so the question arises, is it possible to avoid conflict altogether? But before we address that, please do share examples of peacemakers in the Bible, if they're there at all.
Yeah, the Bible is full of peacemakers, and chief of them is Jesus Christ.
Mm.
Sin destabilized the relationship that was there between humanity and God.
Yeah.
And Jesus came to reconcile humanity to God through his blood. That's Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. It says, having made peace through the blood of his cross to reconcile all things unto himself. So Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He stepped in our shoes and lived a life that we had failed to live so that he can bring us at one with God, which we know as atonement, which is at one man. So Jesus is one example. The other example is Joseph. You know the story of Joseph in Genesis chapter 45. He was betrayed by his brothers. His family persecuted him. And when he had a chance to revenge, he said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. It was not you that sent me down here to Egypt, but God is the one who sent me here to preserve life, even your lives. That's Genesis chapter 45, from verse 1 to 15. That's amazing how someone who was so wrong administers peace back to the people who does not deserve it. Let me give you three more. Moses is the other one. Moses blows my mind. In Exodus chapter 32, verse 32, we know the story of Moses when the Israelites had apostatized and they had built an idol. And he says, please forgive these people. If it pleases you, he's interceding on behalf of Israel. He says, blot my name out of the book of life. We don't have time for me to unpack what that means. But in short, Moses was not saying, kill me. That was not suicidal thoughts. He was saying, I would rather lose heaven. If I die, do not resurrect me. If it will give these people a chance to be reconciled to me. So Moses is a champion of peace. Paul says the same sentiment in Romans chapter 9, verse 3. He says, I would rather be accursed of God if it would give my brothers, the Israelites, another chance. And then let me give you two women just to give it a balance.
Yeah, yeah.
In 2 Samuel chapter 25, there's a woman. Chapter 21, there's a woman called the woman from Tekoa. Her name is not even mentioned, but she's the one who facilitates a reconciliation between David and Absalom. You know, there was a fallout between David and his son, and they hunted each other, wanted to kill each other. And a woman, a wise woman, facilitated this, went before David and facilitated that there should be peace between them. Of course, she cooked a story there. And David and Absalom ended up reconciling. And there's Abigail in 1 Samuel chapter 25. Abigail manages to pacify David. She administers peace between David and Nabal, her husband. If you read the story, it's a fascinating story how a single woman saved the lives of men who wanted to fight for the sake of food. You know? Yeah, and she administered. So, yes, the Bible is full of people who were peacemakers.
Now, thank you so much for that. Now, is it possible to avoid conflict altogether as a Christian? It seems not practical, but do let us know. Is it possible?
Yeah, the answer is yes and no.
Oh, that's a safe answer there. Yes and no. It's a politically correct answer.
Yes, let me clarify. No, in the sense that yesterday we said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 to 36, Jesus says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace unto the world, but I came to bring a sword, and a man is going to be at variance with his family members." So, and we explained that the acceptance of the gospel will bring conflict to those who are in the other kingdom who have not accepted the gospel. So there is no way, once we join Christianity, there is no way we can always avoid conflict. These are two kingdoms at play that are at loggerheads. And in on John chapter 16:33, Jesus said you will have opposition on the earth, and we will always have challenges. And he says, "But you will have peace with me, for I have overcome the world. But in the world, you shall have challenge. You will have conflicts." 2 Timothy chapter 3:12, he says, "All those who want to live godly shall suffer persecution." So there will always be conflict. There can never be a time when we will say, as Christians, we can avoid conflict. And yes, in a sense that we explained yesterday, that Romans chapter 12, verse 18 says, "As far as it lieth in you, be at peace with all men." So we should, as Christians, manage, address issues wisely and in a constructive and loving way.
Okay, that's a good political response there. Thank you so much for that. Now, how does peace relate to God's character? I mean, since God is a God of peace, how does that affect our understanding of peace?
Okay, so Romans chapter 15, verse 33 says God is the God of peace. 2 Corinthians 13, 11 says the same thing. God is known as the God of peace. Now, what does that mean? It means peace is who he is. That's his nature. And he's not just peace, he's the source of peace. What does that mean for us then? And how does that shape our understanding? Because God is a God of peace, it means he's a God of love. It means he's a God of mercy. It means he's a forgiving God. It means he's a God of justice. So if we are to be peacemakers, if we are to have peace, if we are to administer peace, it means we must be loving people. It's a sad reality that most Christians are the most loveless people. And the most miserable people. It seems like people enjoy out there more than people who come to church. And it's not supposed to be like that.
That's sad, man.
The religion of Christ should be a religion of love, a religion of laughter. People should look at Christians and say, "Man, look at them. How we wish we could be Christian." Now, Christianity is associated with sadness, doom, people who are depressed, and it's a wrong Christianity that we are showing to the world. Christians also should be merciful people. Unfortunately, if you look at the statistics in the world, that's not the case. The most mean, merciless people, revengeful people, are people who call themselves by the name of Christ. It can't be.
It can't be.
If we are to be representatives of the God of peace, we should be known for our mercy. if there are people who are going to be brutal against each other on social media platforms, it's Christians. When Christians fight, it gets ugly.
Sad.
We even surpass the level of heathens, which is very sad. Mm. So we should be loving people, we should be merciful, and we should be forgiving people. Mm. People should know, if I wrong this one because he's a Christian or she's a Christian, at least I'm safe. If I apologize, I know I'll be forgiven. That's not the case. In most cases, we are mean, unforgiving. Even in some cases, we go to the same church and yet we don't talk to each other. We plot each other's downfalls.
Man.
That's sad.
Very sad.
There are people at the very same church that we can't greet or talk to each other or shake hands with. That's why people are afraid now to tell their prayer requests at church, because they are journalists, people who will come to take news and broadcast it to others.
True. And, oh, man, sad. I'm laughing, but it's true.
Yeah, and Christians should be just people. That means holy people. People who are different. People who have this environment that invites God.
Mm. Yeah, that's powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. Now, what are the different types of peace mentioned in the Bible? And how do we pursue these different types of peace? Can one exist without the other? For example, can I have peace with God and not with men, and vice versa?
That's interesting. Thank you very much. I actually penned these two, peace with God and peace with others.
Mm.
So peace is one. If God is the God of peace and he's the sustainer, he's the owner, he's the source of peace, then if we have this God, then we have this peace. But we can separate it and then we say a person must have peace with God. And let me quickly say that it's not possible for a person to be at peace with God and without peace with others. First John chapter 4 says, how can a person say they love God whom they have not seen when they fail to love a brother whom they see? So if you are at peace with God, the results should be shown on how you are treating others. And then the Ten Commandments were written in two tables of stones. One that represented our relationship, men's relationship with God, and the other one that represented men's relationship with men, which is one is vertical and the other one is horizontal, which gives us a cross. So Christianity is a cross.
Ah.
You can't say I have a cross if you only have a vertical log, or you only have a horizontal log. We have to have the complete picture. Let me add two more.
Yeah, yeah.
There's something that is called inner peace that we find on Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, that says, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Isaiah speaks about it also on chapter 26, verse 3, saying that thou hast kept in perfect peace whose trust is on you.
Mm.
What does this inner peace do? It's this calmness and contentment. What will make Christians happy people, loving people, forgiving people, merciful people? It's not because they will earn more than the world, but they will have this calmness and contentment with whatever God will give them. And they will know that there is a heaven to come. We are not here to consume and to gather and to amass, but to share with others. And then lastly, there is this peace in turmoil, which is found on Psalms 23, verse 4, that says, you set up the table before me. Even if I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will not be afraid, for you will be with me. Your shepherd and rod comforts me. So, you will have this peace amidst turmoil even when you are being hounded, when things are not balancing, you will have this peace. And Jesus speaks about it in John chapter 14, verse 27. He says, I give you peace, not as the world gives you. So we will have this peace that makes us happy people, smiling people. Even when things are not going our way, we will know we have a Father. The difference between Christians and non-Christians is that us, we go through the same stuff that these guys go through, but we have a God who cares. We have a God of peace. That's the difference.
Indeed, that is the difference. Beautiful, beautiful, and beautiful. Well, my pastor, I must say that we've had a fantastic one. Loved the conversation today. I wish that you have a fantastic afternoon further. We're going to be connecting with you again tomorrow at the same time and same place.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Lovely. Blessings to you. Thanks.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.